here, while we're waiting, we'll have a pray in a minute and we'll settle everything down in a second. But I wonder if you could turn with me, please, to the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles here, could you turn to the book of Acts, please? And we're going to turn to Acts chapter 8, please. Okay, guys, if we can stop talking a second and just quieten our hearts before the Lord. Can we stop talking, please, and just focus? That's lovely. Let's just quieten our hearts before the Lord. We're going to turn to his word, the Bible, and we're going to ask him to speak to us this morning. So let's just pray, shall we? Let's just settle our hearts before him. And let's be receptive to what the Lord's got to say to us this morning. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for new life in you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you want to speak to each and every one of us this morning, Lord. And, Lord, as I just bring the word this morning, please, Lord, would you speak through the words that I bring? Lord, speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, let there be refreshing this morning. Let there be something for us to take away and to put into practice, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 8, and we're going to look at, first of all, at verse 12 of Acts chapter 8. What I want to speak to us this morning about is baptism, because we're baptizing next week. Now, you might think, well, if you've been baptized, what relevance is this to me? Well, it's every relevance, because we have a great commission, don't we, from the Lord. The Lord has given us a job to do before we reach heaven, and that is to preach the good news of Jesus to all creation. So that means the people of Bryn Mawr here. It means where we're living. We might not be from Bryn Mawr. It means the surrounding areas. It means Wales as a whole. It means the nations. We've been given a job to do. It's called the Great Commission. And one day we're going to stand before Jesus and he's going to ask us, did you do what I asked you to do? Have you put it into practice? And the Great Commission is this, to preach the good news to everyone, to make disciples. Not just bring them to the point of conversion, but to teach them how to obey Jesus. But also, in the Great Commission is included baptism, to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's important that we realize that, and it's important that we, if we're Christians, that we've been baptized, or that we are baptized. And it's also important that if we're Christians, that we know what baptism is about, and why we need to baptize people. So we're going to look at that this morning. And I wonder if we can just... We're going to look at various questions. I've got 8 questions which I want to answer this morning. The first question is, what is baptism? The second question is, why be baptized? The third question is, what does baptism signify? The fourth question is, what does baptism actually do? Fifth question, who is to be baptized? Sixth question, when are we to be baptized? Seventh question, how are we to be baptized? And then last question, who can baptize? Okay, so a few questions there. Let's start off by reading Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. This is a guy who's just become a Christian. He's a sorcerer, which means he's practiced the occult. His name is Simon. And in verse 12 it says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So a group of people were baptized when they became believers. Verse 13, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Well, he goes on then to mess up, really, because he tries to buy the Holy Spirit with money. Not a good idea. You can't buy the Holy Spirit with money. So don't try this morning. You might have got a lot of cash on you, but he's free. But in one way, he's priceless, isn't he? We cannot buy God. So he was baptized as soon as he believed. And then if we just go over the page then, to verse 35, or a bit further down in the same chapter. This is another guy, an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, this guy would have been really high up in the royal court in Ethiopia, and he would have been entrusted with all sorts of things in Ethiopia. Very key person. And there's a guy called Philip who's an evangelist. That means he tells people about Jesus. And this guy, Philip, is led to tell this Ethiopian eunuch all about Jesus and explain who Jesus is from the book of Isaiah and how Jesus has fulfilled the predictions about him. And then the guy becomes a Christian. And then in verse 35, it says this: "Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Some of your versions may not have that verse. It's in some versions, but in some manuscripts, but not others. Then verse 38, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away." So we have there another person believing in the Lord Jesus and being baptized and going down into water and then coming up out of the water. Then in Acts chapter 9, verse 17 to 19, this is another guy named Saul, who was also known as Paul, and he wrote much of the New Testament. He wrote many of the letters in the New Testament, but he was a bad boy before he became a Christian, very bad. He hated the church and put people into prison and persecuted the church and basically gave the followers of Jesus a real rough ride. But God had his plans for him, and God appeared to him and changed his life, and he became a different person. So this is just when he becomes a Christian. Verse 17 says this. A guy called Ananias is called to go and tell him about Jesus. "Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." So straight away, becomes a Christian, his baptism is arranged. With the Ethiopian eunuch, as soon as he became a Christian, his baptism was arranged. So we see here, baptism is part of becoming a Christian. And when you become a Christian, when you trust in what Jesus has done for you, basically, the next step is, let's arrange a day for me to be baptized. Let's get some water and let's be baptized. What is baptism? Simply, it's being dunked down in water, being immersed. The word is baptizo. That's the Greek word for baptism, and it literally means to be immersed. It was used of a ship that would be sunken. If there was a drowning, that would be the word, to be completely immersed in water. And we see that from this Ethiopian eunuch. When he was baptized, well, he could have been baptized at any point if it was just sprinkling. He could have just said, well, here's a bottle of Avion or whatever it's called. Here's a bottle of citrus springs. No, whatever. Here's a bottle of water. Let's just be baptized now. But no, he waited until there was a river or a place that was deep enough for them to go down into the water and for them to come up out of the water, because they understood that word, baptism. It was about being immersed. So that's what we're planning to do next week, is to immerse some people who want to follow Jesus, who have become Christians, as a sign, yeah, I'm serious about this. I'm giving my life to Christ, and I'm going to follow him. Also, when you think about it, it's a public declaration. It's one thing to say, yeah, I've become a Christian. It's another thing to actually make it clear to people. And sometimes it's when you're baptized that people think, oh, yeah, that person really has gone mad. They really have gone into a lunatic because they're actually being baptized now. It's getting serious. It shows God and it shows other people, yeah, I'm serious about following Jesus. He has saved me. I'm putting my trust in him. You know, in strict Muslim countries, some Muslims who are quite militant, if someone is baptized in their family, that will be a key point when they'll be excommunicated from the family, because that's a serious step to be baptized. It means that people are serious about following Christ. And many people all over the world have been excommunicated for by their families because they've made that step to be baptized. It takes guts, it takes courage to be baptized because you're coming out in the open. You're saying, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not ashamed of it. The Bible gives us this encouragement. If we're not ashamed of Jesus and his words in this evil and corrupt generation, then one day we're going to appear before Jesus and he's not going to be ashamed of us. He's going to own us before the angels and before his Father in heaven. We belong to him. So that's what baptism is all about. Number two, why be baptized? Why should we be baptized? Over to you. Yes. It says it on the tin. Simply because Jesus has commanded us to be baptized. For no other reason than that, really, when you think about it. Jesus has said it. I believe it. If he said it, it must be important. Therefore, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to do it. So obedience, really, is the key reason why we should be baptized. Let's just flick back. Keep your hand in the book of Acts because we're going to come back to that in a second. But let's just go back to the end of Matthew's gospel. So you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Matthew chapter 28. I mentioned about the Great Commission before, didn't I? Our job description, if you like. And here it is. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 20. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So Jesus commands it there that those who believe in his name, those who follow him, disciples, those who are followers of Jesus, should be baptized. Again, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, and not all versions, again, have got this. There's an ending to Mark's gospel that some of the later manuscripts have that the earlier manuscripts don't. But even so, even if it is a later edition, it's still very early, and it speaks of church traditions of the time. So we've got Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. Could someone just read that out for us, please? Okay, so again there, baptism is for those who believe. If you're a believer, then it's important to be baptized. Now, some would say, well, does that mean that if we're not baptized, we're going to hell? Well, that's not exactly what Jesus was saying. He said it in the positive way, but not in the negative way. He didn't say, you know, if you're not baptized, you will be condemned. He said, if you don't believe, you'll be condemned. But he didn't mention baptism in that one. So we're going to come on to what does baptism do a little bit later on, and I'll go into that in a little bit more detail. So we see then that baptism was associated with someone becoming a Christian. It was practiced throughout the book of Acts by the early church, as we've seen, just in a few pages, many people being baptized. And it happened when people became Christians, when they first became Christians. So it's not the culmination of years of study and everything. It's the starting block, if you like. That's the starter for 10 for a Christian. It's spoken of in the letters of the New Testament, and its significance is put down in the letters of the New Testament. Okay, number three then. What does baptism signify? Now, if you were born in Jerusalem around the time of Jesus, you would see all around the place a certain thing called they're like baths, really, but it's called a mikveh. Can you say the word mikveh? Mikveh. Mikveh. And what that means is a place for a spiritual bath. So the priests' houses, and they've found many of these as they've excavated ancient Jerusalem, they found many of these small rooms, and they're only little small rooms with steps going in and steps coming out, where natural water would be, pretty cold water. And the reason for them is the Jews would go in, baptize themselves and come out again. It was a spiritual washing, if you like, a spiritual bath. And in fact, in front of the temple, they found many of these. As you go up to the steps of the temple, on the southern side of the temple in Jerusalem, they found a whole series of mikvot, or mikvahs, we'd say, places where people could go in, and there'd be steps going down, there'd be a wall, so they'd go down unclean, go into the bath, and come round the corner, and go up the steps into the temple clean, in a spiritual sense. Like a sheep dip. So that might be new to us. We might think, well, I never knew that before. We don't really live in a culture which is used to, well, hopefully you're used to washing here this morning, and you have regular baths, and I have about a yearly bath. I like to shower. That's what I like to do. But so I don't know how often you bath, but the Jews would have bathed normally anyway, or bathed normally, had a wash normally. But there were commands in the Old Testament for spiritual washings. So, for instance, after a woman had given birth, she would have to bathe. That would be a spiritual bath, not a normal bath. When someone became a priest, they would have a spiritual bath. They would be commanded in the Old Testament to cleanse themselves. So it was a picture signifying something. And when we're baptized, there's also that significance, because this is where it comes from. There was a whole ritual where if someone wanted to convert to the Jewish faith, they would have to undergo one of these spiritual baths, and that would be called baptism. So they would have to go down. If you were a non-Jew and you suddenly said, I want to follow the Jewish God, they would make you go into this bath, and it was thought that your idolatry from the past would be cleansed as you went into this bath. And the terminology of being born again would be used. So a goy, which is a non-Jew, having a spiritual bath and converting to the Jewish faith, they would be called born again. And also, they would be called a new creation. That terminology was used of someone who had gone through this. So hence, all this significance of baptism that we have in the New Testament. So not only was it a picture of a spiritual cleansing, but also it was a picture of identification. So as I've just said, if you wanted to identify with a Jewish God and not worship lots of different gods, but you wanted to say, well, I want to follow the Jewish God, that's the true God for me, I'm going to identify with that God by being baptized. And that's what people did. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14, there was a guy, Naaman, his name was, and he was the commander of the Syrian army. He wasn't a Jew, but he wanted to be healed of leprosy. So he came to Elisha and pleaded with Elisha, this man of God, how can I be clean? Can you heal me of this leprosy? And Elisha basically gave him some instructions to go to the river Jordan, Jewish river, and dip in that river 7 times. Well, he didn't want to do that because it was a bit humiliating. Go and dip in a cold river that's in Israel. And he didn't even see him. He just said, just do this. So the guy was humiliated and refused to do it. But then someone talked him into it and said, well, you know, if he asked you to do something hard, you would have done it. Why didn't you just do this one thing? You never know. He might be healed. Well, the guy did it, dipped 7 times in the River Jordan, and he was healed of leprosy. So there's that picture of identification, identifying with the Jewish faith, if you like, for those converting to Judaism. But for us, the picture is identifying with Jesus. You know, John the Baptist appeared in the desert, and he started to baptize many people. He gave them a baptism of repentance. Repentance means saying sorry for your sins, and with God's help, turning around and changing your life, changing your mind about living a certain way, and instead of going God's way. That's what repentance is. And in order to prepare the way for Jesus, John the Baptist started to baptize people. And what they were doing is, the people who were being baptized were identifying with John the Baptist and his message. They were saying, yes, we believe that John is a prophet from God, and we're being baptized in order to identify with John's teaching as a rabbi. We believe what he's saying is true. We're identifying with his message. We're sorry for our sins. And we're also identifying with his message, which is saying the Messiah, the King is coming, Jesus. And we ourselves are getting ready to receive him into our lives when he's revealed to us. That's what John's baptism meant. So when Jesus came, he started to baptize people. And people weren't baptized into any other name. People were baptized into the name of Jesus, which meant we are identifying with the message that Jesus brings and what Jesus came to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, it mentions about all of the Israelites in the Old Testament when they came out of Egypt and they went through the Red Sea. Remember that? You've probably seen the cartoon. I don't know what it's called. Prince of Egypt, is it? Fantastic effects. Well, as they were going through that Red Sea, it says in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2, all were baptized into Moses. Well, that's a bit of a weird saying, isn't it? To be baptized into Moses. What it's saying is all of the Israelites identified with the message of Moses and what Moses came to do. Moses came to give the Israelites the law of God. And they were basically saying, yes, we identify with that. So this is the big picture of baptism. It's to identify with something. You're identifying with a person, a group, or a teaching. And in this case, we are identifying with Jesus. And we're saying, Jesus, everything you did on this earth when you died, when you rose again for our sins, let it be for me. I'm saying, yes, Lord, that was for me. I'm putting my hand up saying, Lord, count me in. And that's what we do when we're being baptized. And it's called being baptized into someone or someone's name. So we're baptized into Christ. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 6, please, and verse 3 onwards. Now that we've looked at the background of baptism. So it's in the New Testament, and it's after the book of Acts. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then you've got the book of Romans. And it says this, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? You know, when someone becomes a Christian, something happens in their life. You might not feel any different, but if you accept that Jesus died on the cross for you, you said sorry for your sins, and you really put your trust in him, believing that when he died, he took the blame for your sins on the cross, you become born again. Something significant has happened to you spiritually. You might feel nothing, as I say, but what has happened in reality is the Holy Spirit, God, has done something in your life, and he has baptized you into Jesus. So as soon as someone's saying that prayer, and I'm really meaning it, their life gets dunked into Christ. Think about someone immersed in their books. Sometimes I get immersed in my books. Stuart, tea's ready. And I'm never ready when I hear that call. I'm immersed in my work or in my books. Ah, just a second, I'm immersed. When we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit, that's God himself, his spirit, takes our lives, and immerses them into Jesus and everything that he did. We become forever associated with Jesus. We're in his body. We're in him. That means that everything that he died to achieve, it becomes ours. It means that when Jesus died on the cross, it was like the old us, the sinful us, dying on that cross. When he took that punishment for sin, it was the old us being punished for the bad things that we've done. When Jesus rose again from the dead, it was us rising to newness of life in Jesus. When his body was laid in the tomb, it was like the old us was laid out on the slab, dead, gone, buried. So when we're baptizing people, it's a picture of what has already happened spiritually to people's lives. They've been baptized into Jesus. They're no longer the old them, they're the new them. And baptism is an outward sign of something which has happened spiritually and legally. Because legally, our sins are forgiven because of what Jesus has done We are legally in him, not abandoned by him. We're accepted into him. So let's just continue to read this. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That's a pleasant thought, isn't it? So when we're baptized, and it's like a funeral, really, something to rejoice in. It's like your old life going down into the grave. As you're going down, that's the picture. As the waters go over your head, it's like we're drowning you. We'll try not to drown you. We'll do our best, but drowning the old you. And then it says here that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, that's our old lifestyle, was crucified with him, that the body of sin, that's the old sinful us, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we should regard, when we're baptized, we should regard it as a picture of what's happened to us spiritually, that we are a new creation. The old us is gone. We might not feel like the old us is gone. We still want to sin. You know, there is that putting to death, that side of our nature. But we are to regard ourselves as new born creatures and go into heaven when we die. We don't have to do something to deserve it, because we don't deserve it. He's already done it all. And that is what we're doing when we're baptized. We're acting out what has happened to us spiritually. Number four, what does baptism do? If you're Catholic, one of the beliefs is that when certain things are done, grace is imparted to people. What do I mean by that? It means that just by doing the process of something, you get the benefits of it. Whereas in the New Testament, the important thing is that we believe. That means that it's no good baptizing someone who doesn't believe. I've been to funerals where it's been done by a high church or Catholic sort of church or high Anglican church, where there's been a coffin and there's been some water splashed onto the coffin. That is regarded by them as a baptism. What they're doing is baptizing that person as part of like the last rites or so, as almost like an insurance policy. Okay, they didn't ever go to church in their life. They showed no belief in this life, but they're going to benefit from Christ's death on the cross because some holy water has been splashed on them. And it's regarded as a sprinkling, like a baptism. Well, actually, I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. What I believe the Bible teaches is baptism is an outward demonstration that something has happened inwardly, that we've put our trust not in ourselves and in our own ability to get to heaven, because none of us could get to heaven by our own good works. Baptism is an outward show that we've come to believe in Jesus and what he's done for us. So it's not a magical thing, and it's not going to do anything for you if you don't believe in Jesus. You know, if you're just going through the motions and oh, other people were getting baptized, I thought I would. It's not going to do anything for you, because it means nothing to you. But when it's done in faith, when it's done for someone who's really sorry for their sins before God, and someone who's putting their trust in Jesus, that's when it becomes effective. And God can meet us and bless us in that. But it's not a magical or the holy water sort of thing. If that was the case, we could just plug in our hoses and go out to Bryn Mawr. And as people are coming out of the nightclub, hose them down. We'd probably do them a lot of good as they came out from Buffs or something. You know, hose everyone down. Be great, you know. hire the fire brigade to do that or something. It doesn't work that way. It works by faith. Faith is putting our trust in God, and it also works by repentance. Repentance is being serious about turning around and following Jesus. Those are the two things which are emphasized in the Bible. So, number five, who is to be baptized? Really, those who show evidence that they're sorry for their sins and they're trusting in Jesus. Those are the two things. If you're sorry for your sins and you've said sorry to God, and with God's help you're trying to overcome sin, that's called repentance. And that means that you're ready for baptism, really, as long as you're trusting in Jesus and what he's done. That's called faith, trusting in Jesus. So we need to be repentant, turning around, following Jesus, surrendering to him and making him the boss of our lives. And we need to be trusting in him and what he's done, because we can't get to heaven by good works. And again in the New Testament, either one or the other are emphasized when people are being baptized. Both are important. That means that if we need to have faith and repentance, it means that a newborn infant, as they're being rocked in their pram, really, from the Bible's point of view, I would say that they can't exercise for themselves faith and repentance, yeah? Does that mean they go to hell if they die? I don't believe so. God is gracious, and God is able to do all things. You know, there's a certain point where we just need to entrust young ones who are not old enough to make that decision to be baptized. We need to entrust them to God's care, you know, and God understands that. But for those who are old enough to make that decision, it's a decision that they make. So we don't, in this church, we don't baptize infants because it's pointless. Because when you think about it, if you have your child christened, when they're older, they could have a full sense of security. Oh, I've already been, christening is baptizing an infant, yeah? I've already been baptized. I don't need to be baptized. Well, actually, the Bible makes it clear we should believe in Jesus. And as a sign that we believe in Jesus, we should be baptized. So I would say if someone has been christened as they're growing up, I would advocate if they've become a believer in Jesus that they don't just say, yes, I accept my christening. I would advocate that they actually become baptized by full immersion and go down into the water as a sign that they're putting their trust in what Jesus has done, because that's the biblical sign of believe and be baptized. That's why it's called believer's baptism. We're baptizing those who believe in Jesus. And a child, if they're too young, has not got the ability to make that decision. That means that as children are growing up, it's up to godly parents to know that point at which they think their children are actually old enough to understand the good news of Jesus and to make a decision for themselves. Because they're baptized once, and it's for the rest of their lives. So there's no age restriction on that, but we just need to use our common sense and be wise with that. Now, in the New Testament, there was a few times where it mentions about whole households being baptized. And people who believe in infant baptism would say, well, the New Testament mentions whole households coming to faith and being baptized. Well, the fact is they did come to faith first. And the other thing is, we're not told the ages of those who are being baptized. So it's a bit of a non-argument, really. There's no instance in the Bible of an infant being baptized. That came in later, centuries later, with infant baptism and also different forms of baptism that weren't in the New Testament. Okay, seven. We're on number seven. How are we to be baptized? As I've said before, the Jewish concept was full immersion. And that's what the word means. And Philip, when he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, he went down into the water. He came up out of the water. So that means that we can baptize, really, anywhere where there's water to go fully into the water. It's that picture of dying with Christ. It gives that picture the best of us being placed into Jesus, being baptized into him. It's the best picture, really. And just pouring water on someone doesn't really give that picture. And just sprinkling water on them doesn't really give that picture. So I was, when I became a Christian, and I was a believer, in Yateley, where I was brought up in Hampshire, or Surrey, I went to an Anglican church. Yately. I went to an Anglican church and the bishop came and I was expecting to be baptized full immersion. That's what I wanted. But it was not available to me. They didn't do that. So the bishop came and just did the sign of the cross on my head, and that was my baptism. I wasn't happy with that. And if that's your situation, if you've had a similar thing, I would say do what I did. I'd encourage it to be fully immersed, because that is the biblical way to be baptized. So when I came to Abergavenny, I was baptized in Abergavenny swimming pool, the leisure center there. It doesn't need to be holy water. What is holy water? It's water that's been blessed by a priest. Well, we don't believe in that. We believe that, you know, God made all things. So we're just baptized in normal water. You could be baptized in a bath. You know, it doesn't. The location isn't that important. You don't have to be baptized in the River Jordan in Israel. You know, and there's one baptism. It says in the Bible there is one baptism. So if you've been baptized, you don't need to get baptized again because you like the thought of being baptized in the River Jordan, or because you like the thought of being baptized in it. Saying you left this church, went to another church. You don't need to be rebaptized by them to really be part of their church. There is one baptism, but it needs to be a proper baptism done in the biblical way. So a river is fine. It's going to be cold. I apologize about that. I'm going to get cold as well as you. But it's great fun. It's great fun going out in the elements and doing it. Then lastly, who can baptize? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, Peter, remember Peter the rock, a real keen follower of Jesus, he tells us that there is the priesthood of all believers. What does that mean? It means that we're all on the same level before God. If you are a believer in Jesus, you've got direct access to God the Father. You don't have to pray through a saint. You don't have to pray through a priest. You don't have to go through a priest to get to God. You can go directly to God yourself. You have access. When Jesus died on a cross, there was a curtain separating the presence of God and the presence of the people. That curtain was torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. What it means is we've all got access to Jesus when we believe. The first day that you believe as a Christian, you've got just as much right for access to God's presence as someone who's been a Christian all their lives for years. It's the priesthood of all believers. That means, really, you don't need a special person who's qualified to do the baptisms. Anyone who's been baptized, who's following Jesus, who loves the Lord, you can be used to baptize someone. So I might be involved in the baptizing. I might not. It might be other people here who are involved in the baptizing. But one of the questions we'll ask you when we go into the staff room, when we're just having a practical session for those being baptized, is who do you want to baptize you? Have a think about it. As long as they're Christians, they need to be Christians and following Jesus. But there's no set rules as to who is to do the baptizing. It doesn't have to be a priest. You know, often leaders are chosen, or people that are part of the local church. It's good to be baptized in the church where you're going to be a part of your family. You know, so it makes sense for us to baptize you if you're fellowshipping here. If you're part of another church, it makes sense for them to baptize you. But those are some principles with regard to baptism. I just want to finish with any questions. Has anyone got any questions about baptism? Yes, Norman. What is the significance? Well, I think in a Jewish mind, because God took 7 days to take the to make the world, 7 became a significant number. It's used a lot in the book of Revelation. It becomes a significant number in many ways. Yeah, it's again and again. And we all have a 7-day week. Well, most of us do have now. So it's a significant number. So I don't know. Maybe it was to test his determination and to test his humility level, to see if he was really willing to humble himself and do something foolish. Yeah, it is. We're not going to do you 7 times, don't worry, guys. Just me down and up, you know, that'll be it. We'll explain a bit more. To those who are being baptized, we'll explain a bit more about the process of what's going to happen when we spend some time with you now in a minute, as they say in Wales. Any other questions? Okay, let's just finish with prayer, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for the amazing picture of baptism. Thank you that you meet us as we are baptized. You meet us and fill us with your Holy Spirit and do amazing things in our lives, Lord. And it's our prayer that this coming Sunday, Lord, as people are baptized, that they would have an encounter with you, Lord. Just as they're going down into that water, which is also a picture of your Spirit, Lord. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would flood their lives and that they would know that you are with them, that they would have an assurance that they're saved, that they go into heaven when they die, Lord. Lord, just help us in the whole process of the baptism. We pray it would be a great day and it would go really smoothly, Lord. Lord, we want to thank you, Jesus. It's all about you and what you've done, Lord. And we pray that more and more people would come to that point where they're wanting to come into a relationship with you and put their trust in you. Thank you for what you died for us to achieve, Lord. Thank you that you're now raised from the dead and you're reigning on high. Lord, we just want to surrender our lives to you this morning and say, Lord, use each one of us to see many people coming to know you and to see many people being baptized as a sign that they belong to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.